Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumatic Health. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Paul the Apostle, with his famous words that are written in his letter to the Church of Philippi. And they are taken from Philippians chapter 3, Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The verse fully reads, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul's life had been fully given over to the living Christ. I may say it in that manner, but the very words of Paul were, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. His words may seem strange to a culture that has been given over to the cult of the self. And so, juxtaposing Paul's words, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, juxtaposing his words with the cult of selfism today, and what is going on today in our presence. The violence, the distrust, the violence, the lying, the violence, the subterfuge, the violence, the moral decay within the school system, the violence, human trafficking, the violence, the self-seeking for eternality without God, the violence, transhumanism, which believes that the human being is little more than consciousness that can be uploaded into a supercomputer and thus perpetuate humanity in this manner, the violence. And what persons are told about the physical world, the physical environment, and how nature, quote unquote, is at war with itself, against the evidence that the universe is in balance, but it is we who are out of balance. The political maneuvering in order to control and obfuscate the reality of the fact that this world is orderly and has been ordered and will be ordered. When God ends this particular human experiment, the violence and the desire to have every belief looked upon as somehow valid. Now, the Apostle Paul saw life in a completely different way. He knew that one of the most important things for any human being to do was to have a genuine encounter with the living and resurrected Christ. This is, of course, what changed his life, and Paul's salvation event forever changed his perception both of himself and of the ecclesia of God. And those whom he had hounded and persecuted, and those whom he had murdered, were now in the same category as he. And he talks about the grace of God that was given to him and how he persecuted the church of God, and he confessed that he did it ignorantly until God opened his understanding, until God gave him insight, until God unveiled, as it were, the real meaning of the church. So Paul wrote this fantastic letter to the church at Philippi. The church, or the city of Philippi, was named for Philip of Macedon. And he, of course, was the father of Alexander the Great. And this city was taken from the Thracians in 358 BC. The local church was founded there on Paul's second missionary journey, and we believe this occurred between AD 60 and AD 62. This church had heard that Paul was jailed for the sake of the Evangelion, for the sake of the gospel. And so they sent a special offering to Paul in order to help him. And Paul wrote to thank them for their concern. I love that about Paul, in that he has a very deep and rich understanding of people. And so he would take nothing for granted because of the persecution that he had suffered, because his life, the one who had once hounded others, was now being hounded. So this wonderful light that the church at Philippi wanted to share with him, this gift. He wanted to show them how thankful he was and appreciative of their concern for his life. Paul's Christology in his letter to the Philippians has been called the Christology, or doctrine of Christ, of joy and power. Again, there's that word, power.
In his letter to the Philippians, Paul presents the all-sufficiency of Christ. And this is found throughout the book. For Paul, Christ is the meaning of life, and people serve him unto a triumphant end. This was Paul's view of Christ. So, some have called, once again, Paul's letter to the Philippians, Paul's letter of joy. They say that joy is the central theme. And to some extent, that is true. But I don't want the joy that is presented in this letter to be seen in any way as independent of Paul's relationship with Christ. A very powerful relational theology is presented to us here. Paul never writes or speaks about happiness. The Lord Jesus never wrote anything, but he never spoke about happiness. Peter never wrote about happiness. John never wrote about happiness. James never wrote about happiness. Because these writers knew that happiness depends upon one's circumstance. They understood that joy was internal. Joy had to do, for these writers, joy had to do with their relationship with Christ, the meaning that they had found in the living Christ, the peace, the blessings, the prosperity, even under persecution. Even when things weren't going well on the outside, see, that's happiness. Happiness is always circumstantial. Joy has to do with the internal environment. And so joy is very powerful. The living Christ was a very powerful presence within the life of Paul. Paul presents Christ, the living and resurrected Christ, as indeed the medicine, the essential medicine. Paul presented Christ as the one who has brought to us our most deepest and intrinsic need, that is to have a relationship with the living God through Christ Jesus. The life that Paul presents is other. It is exogenous. It is other than life as presented within the cosmos under socioeconomic and sociopolitical regimes. This life is other. And yet, this life is lived within the cosmos. Paul has also said that we are citizens. And we have a politeuma. Well, we are citizens of another realm. Indeed, the old way of saying it is that this whole world is not my home. We are strangers and pilgrims. We are sojourners. As wealthy as Abraham was, he always lived in a tent, and he never settled down and built an ivory palace. He had the wealth, he had the means to do so. When Lot had been kidnapped, Abraham had a private army that he got together to go to rescue his nephew. He had the ability, but he lived in a tent as a symbol of his relationship with the cosmos, and that he was a sojourner, and that this was temporary, and that he was from another realm. The people of God, in their wilderness journey, had borders of blue on their garments in order to symbolize that they belonged to another realm. The Lord Jesus did not locate his ministry in a synagogue. He did not have others to come to him. He went out, and he wore sandals, and he walked down the street, and he tabernacled, as it were, we are told in John chapter 1. He pitched a tent among us, and the tent was his flesh, the veil of his flesh. He was the Anthropos, the God-man. And so from that, we have the doctrine of the hypostatic union, the union of God and man in the person of Lord Jesus Christ, the union of the human and the divine, the ideally human, united with eternal deity. And so he tabernacled among us. Paul's earthly life, Paul's human life, Paul's life as Saul, with its darkness and depravity, with its perverse view of the church, with its wanting spiritual depth, the lacking of spiritual depth and insight, had now been forever changed because his life now belonged to the living Christ. This is what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful words. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, I should say, to the glory and praise of God. So for Paul, the Christian way of being before God had to do with superabounding love, resulting in epinosis, or a full and complete knowledge of the objects of one's knowledge or awareness. So superabounding love resulting in epinosis and sophia or wisdom with dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, or power. Love controls character, balanced by complete knowledge and spiritual insight. This was Paul's powerful awareness of the living Christ. This was Paul's powerful awareness of the work, the finished work of the living Christ. That persons whose lives were once burdened by very poor decisions, persons whose lives were controlled by evil deeds that had been perpetrated upon them and so therefore determined a particular way in which they saw themselves, lies that these persons had been told were truth, that they had embraced as truth, but were in reality fantastic fictions and falsehoods. Paul knew from experience or experientially that God provided the answer to all of these things in Christ Jesus. Paul had experienced the power of grace in Christ Jesus. So Paul gave up pursuing others and judging them by fiat and tossing them into prisons or murdering them outright for their faith, for their belief. Paul's life was forever transformed, and the love of Christ was deeply embedded within him. And so Paul could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. His singular purpose, his singular focus was the living Christ. Resurrection power had turned him around, had stopped him from a life of blind religious zeal in which the lives of individuals who meant him no harm were taken or eradicated out of ignorance. Paul wrote in Romans 1 that the Evangelion was suppressed or being held down by men, because they do not want this message, this fantastic message of the love of God through Christ Jesus, to be disseminated as it should be disseminated because of the fantastic healing that is contained within the gospel. We emerge from scotia, or darkness, which is presented as an active principle in the Greek New Testament, in the scriptures, to phos, light. We make that hiatus. We who were once dead in trespasses and sin, Ephesians 2, 1 and following, are now made alive in Christ Jesus. John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world or cosmos that he gave as a gift his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him and then he who keeps on believing or growing in that belief will not die, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn or to pass sentence on the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And this is the judgment, that men have loved darkness rather than light, and love scotus, scotia, rather than false, because their deeds were evil. Paul's very powerful journey is about the living Christ. His very powerful letters written to the various churches were about his experience and relationship to Christ. And Paul knew the meaning and the depth of this wonderful gospel message. Paul wrote, and we will continue in verse 12, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, that is, being jailed because of the gospel, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have become encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." Now notice this. Notice where he is. Notice his estate. Notice what has happened to Paul. He is in chains for his message. He is in chains for the gospel. And yet, we call his letter to the Philippians Paul's letter of joy. Well, once again, joy has to do with the state of the heart. In verse 21 of chapter 1, Paul writes, "For me to live, for to me to live is Christ, and to die in gain." The gospel message is holistic. The gospel message is complete. It presents a complete salvation or rescue for each individual. No matter where you are, where you have been, what you have done, what you think you have done, no matter how soiled you believe yourself to be, God can wash you clean to the blood of the living. This is God's gift to you. God says, "Behold, I make all things new." This is God's gift to both you and me. "Behold, I make all things new." If you want a brand new life, you may have it today. You may have it right now through the living Christ. God has a life for you. And you may learn or come to know the love of God that passes knowledge. This is God's great gift through the living Christ to you today. And you may ask him right now, where you are, to give to you that brand new life. Confess in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then we are told thou shalt be saved. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will speak with you next time on the Matikos. Have a wonderful day.